I don't know what you're waiting for. Okay? I don't know what you have been waiting for. But it says that though it may tarry, it will surely come to pass. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, and it will surely come to pass. Oh, God is good. I only have like 2 minutes to preach. I'll just read the scripture and we'll just go. Because the worship has done everything. Awesome. Can we put our hands together for these wonderful people? And can you put our hands for our wonderful African pastor, Pastor Joel? His heart is in two places, in the UK and in Africa, all at the same time. Amen. Yeah. Good. So we're going to talk about something that many people struggle with, and people struggle with waiting. We're all waiting for something to happen. We're waiting for Jesus Christ to return. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. We're waiting for something for God to do. Some of you are waiting for a breakthrough. Some of you are waiting for a life partner, a husband, a wife. Some of you are waiting for a financial breakthrough. Some of you are waiting for God to do something specific in your life. God may have said something. God has told me so many things. Some of them have come to pass. Others, I am still waiting on them to come. But the Bible says that though it may tarry, it will surely come to pass. So whatever you are waiting on the Lord for, because God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. Whatever you are waiting for in accordance to God's purpose and will, it will surely come to pass. Let's look at Habakkuk. I have to rush through this. Let's look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. Can we read this together, if we can? Habakkuk 2, 3. Okay, thank you so much. If you are happy, can we just read it together? For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Whenever God says something twice, it will come to pass. Pharaoh was given a dream, and he was given two dreams, twice of the same event, and it came to pass. And he says, though it may tarry, God may have given you a vision. We are trusting God for a bigger church. We are trusting God for breakthrough. You know what happened? You know, God is awesome. Before COVID, and just before COVID and hit the church, you know, well, the numbers, financially, the church was, well, we're almost there, you know. Then COVID hit and we're like, oh, that's the end. It's just going to go south. But after COVID, our numbers went up. We now have online members. That's very COVID and post-COVID online members. Finances went up after COVID. Okay? So whatever the enemy had planned, God canceled it. And God did what only he can do by turning things around. And I said, God is going to turn things around for your life today in Jesus' name. Amen. I not hear an amen.
Amen.
Oh, God. I not hear a believing amen.
Amen.
This is African preach now. Amen. Now, let's look at some examples of people in scripture who had to wait. We know the story of Abraham and Sarah waiting. They had waited. God had promised Abraham, told him, he took him from all of the Chaldeans in Mesopotamia and told him to leave his family and I'll take you to a place that you know not of. And Abraham had faith and Abraham walked with God. And God promised him, God showed him the stars in the sky and said, you see all these stars? Your ancestors, your descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. And Abraham looked at himself, God, I don't have a child. How is that possible? You know, when God speaks, he sounds stupid at times. He says things when it does not physically make sense. It's as if, well, how can this happen? I don't have a child of my own, and you expect me to have descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. But God made a promise to him. And when he was 100 years old, 25 years after God had made that promise, and Sarah was 90, God brought it to pass. And when he said that God will do the impossible, Oh, say it louder. Say, God will do the impossible. See, you know, the Bible says there's power in our tongue. See, he sent forth his word. See, when we speak as Christians, we speak prophecy. We are sending forth the word of God. See, he sent forth his word. His word did not come back void until it accomplished the purpose for which it was sent forth. Say, God is doing the impossible in my life. Amen. That's one believing sister there. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 21, verse 1 to 6, I may not have time to read the whole thing. I'll just jump down to chapter 6. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham and Sarah that Sarah will nurse a child? Yes, I have borne him a son in his old age. Say, God, say, people will laugh in joy for me. Oh, God, you don't hear what I said. Say, people will laugh in joy for me. When God does it, I will laugh. See, God is bringing laughter into your lives. I know what it is for God to bring laughter. My son, our son, had an accident. They told us, not too long ago, they told us that this boy will be a vegetable. My wife flew with him on a helicopter to Alder in Liverpool. It was as if he was dead. His brain, his leg, everything gone. And I know, and we prayed. And there was a night that we were in the hospital. You know, and the doctors told us, Pastor Joe drove us down there. Awesome guy. We were in the hospital, and his temperature was rising. And they said, well, that they need to do a blood transfusion. You know, and I don't have a problem with blood transfusion. Okay, I have no problem with it. You know, but I and my wife, we agreed that it will not happen. And we just prayed quietly. You know, and we went to go and sleep. Well, we could not sleep too much. And we came back. In the morning, they came rushing, the doctors, that we don't know what happened. We don't know what happened. And his temperature has come down. He doesn't need the blood transfusion. I'm aware. We just looked at each other, and we just smiled. We just smiled. We knew what happened. God had gone ahead. I said, God will go ahead for you. Yeah. That thing that seems intractable, that problem that has not answered to any situation, God will go ahead of you. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. In the mighty name of Jesus. At the age of 100, at the age of 90, God went ahead and blessed Abraham and Sarah with a child. And they laughed. David waited for over 20 years to be crowned the king of Israel. He was anointed in his father's house in Bethlehem. And for 15 years, he was having a running battle with Saul. Eventually, almost after 15 years later, he was anointed in Hebron as king over Judah. And 7 years after, he was anointed king over the whole of Israel. When God says something, at times he brings problems. When God says something clearly to you, it stirs up the enemy to stand against you. I remember when I was back in Nigeria, we used to run a fellowship, and anytime we had a meeting, that Saturday before the meeting, all our children would get sick. You know, I took statistics, not once, not twice, not three times. It was not coincidental. It was the enemy fighting. Every single time we had a meeting, all our kids will fall sick. But we were not deterred. We still went in there and did what God wanted to do. And God's name was glorified. So whenever God has spoken to you, at times he brings contention in the camp of the enemy. Because the enemy is not happy. See, the Bible says, our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our problem is not people. We have no problem with human beings. See, God loves people, sinners. We Christians should have no problem with anyone. God loves Buddhists, he loves Hindus, he loves Taoists, he loves Muslims, he loves everyone. We don't have any problem with human beings. But our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's where the battle is. But the Bible says that Christ is seated in heavenly places above all power and principality. And that's to say, and we are seated with him. That's where we are. Although I'm here physically, but man, my spirit is in heaven with God. And that's where we are. That's why we can decree a thing and it will come to pass. So whatever opposition you may be facing, It may be because, see, when Job was living his normal life, was okay, was happy, and the devil went to heaven. You know, he gathered there with the sons of God, and God said, "Have you not seen my son Job?" And the devil said, "Well, take everything from him, and he will not serve you." And that happened because Job was faithful. Opposition came. So don't think because you are going through tough times, through stress, it's because you have sinned. No. It's because God has showcased you as someone who is faithful. And the enemy is fighting what is about to be breathed in you. But he cannot stop what God is going to do. It will surely. He said, though it may tarry, the vision is for an appointed time. Though it may tarry, it will surely what? Come to pass. David, after 20 years. And we could see Joseph. Joseph was in the prison. You know, at times, you know, people may forget you. It's so common. What happened to Joseph after interpreting the dream of the cupbearer and the baker? The cupbearer promised that, well, when I get to Pharaoh's court, I'll put in a word for you. But for 2 years, the guy forgot. He was enjoying the largesse of the palace. He forgot. You know, but Joseph was there in the prison, languishing. But God did not forget him. I don't know who has forgotten you, but God cannot forget you. The Bible says the eye of the Lord moved to and fro upon the earth, looking for those whose hearts are stayed upon him so he can make them strong. Say, Lord, your eye will locate me. Oh, say it louder. Say, Lord, your eyes will locate me. Oh, Jesus. When the eyes of the Lord locates you, things will begin to happen on their own accord. Things that were impossible will begin to happen because the eyes of the Lord has located you. And of course, you know what happened? Pharaoh had a dream. God had to orchestrate. He had a dream. And they had to call Joseph, who they had forgotten. And Joseph was promoted to become the prime minister in Egypt. Or is it Anna in the temple who waited day and night? You may have been praying and asking God, God, when will this happen? Everything is not happening right in my life, Lord. Things are just going from bad to worse. And you have been crying. And remember what happened in the temple to Samuel's mom. It got to a point that when she was praying, her mouth was moving, but no words were coming out. You may have been praying without words. You have no words to say. But God sees you. And God hears your prayer. Oh, when our son was down, I could not pray. Prayers did not happen, but people were praying. The Spirit of God was praying on our behalf. I don't know what you're praying for or what you're waiting for. God will locate you. And this wonderful time in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, it says, so when they had come together, they asked him, they were asking Jesus Christ, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They were looking for a physical kingdom, but God had other plans. He was looking for a spiritual kingdom. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The fact that I'm standing here holding a microphone is because of the Holy Spirit. Normally, when I was younger and they gave me a piece of paper, my hands would be going like this. This is not me. I'm not your stand in front of a crowd person. I can do one-on-one talking for 10 hours, fine. One-on-one, that's fine. But stand in front of people is the Holy Spirit. You cannot live a successful life without the Holy Spirit, Christian life. You need the Holy Spirit to empower you. Imagine you're praying for somebody and God gives you a word concerning that person, a word of knowledge. And you say that word. And because you have said a word, the person gives their life to Christ. Is the Holy Spirit. When Jesus Christ was by the well, he met this woman who had 5 husbands. And Jesus Christ told him, and the woman, she was shocked. How did you know? The Holy Spirit. And because of that word of knowledge, this woman became an evangelist on day one. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here to empower you, to strengthen you, to give you the grace to walk for Jesus, to be a witness for what God has done. The Holy Spirit that God has given us. So what can you do while you're waiting? I'll just quickly run through six things, just very, very briefly, then we'll pray, that you can do while you're waiting. It says the first thing to do is to pray. There may be a reason why God has asked you to wait. Find out, God, what am I supposed to learn from this situation? Why am I still waiting for this thing to happen? Ask him for understanding, and he will give you understanding. You can study. The Bible says, Paul was telling Timothy, his son, he says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that cannot be put to shame, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's a time to grow. My growth as a Christian came during times of intense waiting. Waiting. I thought I would get married at the age of 28, but that didn't happen. I was waiting. I said, God, why? I have a job. I've been working for almost 10 years. But God was building me. If I'd married earlier on, I would have been a disaster. I know. You know, 10 years, God was saying, wait. You know, and I just say, okay, God. And because I really want to marry on time, you know, so I can, and my wife, can, at the age of 40, we can just go on holidays and the kids are all in university. It's a time to grow. It's a time to have faith because God knows what he's doing. Remember, God knows. The Bible says he's the Alpha and the Omega. At times, I look back in hindsight. I say, God, thank God I didn't rush things because you knew what was happening. God knows what is happening. Remember that God is faithful. He says, I will never say, though you go through the valley of the shadow of death, I am with you. My rod and my staff will comfort you. See, I prepare a table for you in the midst of your enemies. Your cup will run over. Oh, say my cup will run over. Oh, Jesus. My cup will run over. You know, when your cup runs over, you become a blessing. See, when God blesses, and this is very, very, this is very, very a fact. When God blesses, he does not give you what you need. He gives you more than enough. Do you know why he does that? Because the main purpose of a blessing is not for yourself. It's to be a blessing to other people. You know, but what normally happens that when God blesses, we just hoard the blessings. No, God wants you to be able to say, Abraham, say, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. He said, press down, shaking together, running over. Oh, Jesus. Amen. Amen. He will pour into your bosom. And it's a time. Waiting is a time to serve God. And it's a time to serve other people. Don't get so introspective and just look at your problems. See, the best way to go through a time of testing is to do things for other people. Don't bother worrying about what you're going through. Forget about worrying. Think about other people's problems. Serve other people. It's a time of service to God. It's a time of service to humanity. It's a time of service in your church. It's a time to deepen your roots because God is preparing you for something. God is setting you up for something. And this is the time he's trying to prepare you. The Bible says that when the temple was being built, there was not heard of any chiseling or any hammering at the temple side because the stones that were used to build the temple were hewn in the quarry site. So when they brought them to the temple site, they put them together, they just fitted perfectly. At times, God can be working on you at the background. A skyscraper, the foundation for a skyscraper is normally higher than a three-story building. Because God is doing something. He's deepening roots in you. So what are you waiting for? He says, but they shall say, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Have you seen an eagle? When the storm comes, an eagle will rest on the storm and allow the storm to carry it across. It just rests on top of the storm. That's the kind of life we're supposed to live. When the storm comes, just rest. Rest on it. And keep on moving to where God is taking you to. Don't worry about what's happening. Are you here waiting for a breakthrough, waiting for healing, waiting for financial breakthrough, waiting for something, waiting for a loved one to be born again. I waited for my father until he was 95 before he gave his life to Christ. We all waited, prayed. My mother passed on. He was not yet born again. Some few weeks before he passed on, my sister normally, because I was here in the UK, my sister normally goes there, and she kept on talking to him. He's a very, very intelligent man. He kept on asking some very, very tough questions that I cannot even answer. You know, at the time I have to run away, you know. But eventually, God caught up with him some few days before he died. And I had a dream. He was in heaven. He's in heaven. I saw him and my mom forever. See, our journey here is just temporary. We are passing through. This is not our home. We are going somewhere. God is taking us somewhere. This is just a passing through, a journey that God is taking us through. Even as we round up, God is waiting for you. God is waiting for you. I don't know if you are here. I was born into a Christian home. My parents were Baptist. I was baptized in church, went to church, and got to university. I stopped going to church, didn't bother. You know, I'll be drinking on Sunday morning, you understand, with the guys and everything. You know, my sister was praying for me, and it got a time I was in a bus, and they were playing some music in one of those languages that I do not, there are over 2,000 languages in Africa. They were playing one of them, I did not understand it, and it's as if the whole world was just passing through me. Everything I had done was just flickering through me. And I got to my destination, and I started crying. I rushed to my friend's place, and I said, well, his name is Boyega. I said, Boyega, I'm tired of my life. And I fell down flat. And I went for deliverance. And in that church that I went for, they have a list of things that you get delivered from. There are 50 of them. And the guy said, I should tick. I ticked 49. I'm not lying. I ticked 49. I'd gone that far. I'd done everything. 49. When the guy saw the list, the guy said, well, can you come back next week? The guy had to go and pray. You know, it was just too much. You know? But God delivered me, and he has been working on me. I don't know if you're here. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and be with me. Even as we just close our eyes, I don't know if you are here and God is knocking at the door of your heart. God is knocking at the door of your heart. This is the time. Tomorrow may be too late. Tomorrow may be too late. This is the time to open the door of your heart to him. There's nothing you have done that God cannot forgive. He's a God of love and of mercy. I don't know, can the band just come, please? And please, just come and sing and this song, Eze Ebube, please. As we just... And as the song goes on, if you want to give your life to Christ, just pray. And Pastor Joel and the leaders are around. You can see us after the service. And Father, I just want to pray for those who have decided to and open the door of their hearts. I ask that Lord Jesus, you come in, you sup with them. That Lord Almighty, they will have an encounter with you. And they will know you as personal Lord and Savior. And for those of us here who know you, who are trusting you for a breakthrough in any area of our lives, I ask that God Almighty, you'll do far and above what you can ever think or expect in accordance to the power that is at work within us. Thank you, Jesus.